And welcome. My name's Glenn. I'm one of the pastors of this local church. We're going to have our reading now from Proverbs 9, and I've got three readers to come and read to us. We have three characters in our passage. Can I invite our three readers up? Is that all right? Two female characters and the simple. I'll let you guess who might be who. Proverbs 9, you can find on page 642. At the moment is election time, and all I see on the BBC News website is fact checking. And so it's good for us to have our Bibles open in front of us as we look at it, so you can fact check what I'm saying is God's word and from there. Have we all found Proverbs 9 and we're ready to read? Let me invite to you Lady Wisdom. Hello, Lady Wisdom. Go for it.
Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, walk in the way of insight."
Verse 7, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer.
Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Please keep that passage open in front of you and let me pray. Heavenly Father, please would you help us to hear your word and to put it into action. Help us to choose rightly tonight for your glory. Amen. There is a famous icebreaker question which asks, what five people, living or dead, would you invite to dinner? In short, who do you want to eat with? Apparently, psychologists say your answers reveal a lot about you. I wonder who you would want to eat with. Why don't you spend 1 minute speaking to the person next to you, find out who would they love to have dinner with. Go on, you got a minute. I'm going to ask for answers, so be prepared. Oh, wow, nice. I like it. you'd have dinner with each other. Oh, nice. So, hey, that's a winner, that is. You want to eat with who? With me. You can come and eat with us anytime you want. Fine. Right, that should be enough time. That should be enough time. These guys here were talking about the football. I heard that. So who's brave enough to shout out some answers for us? Who do you want to eat with? Levi, go for it.
Ben.
You would like to eat with Ben. Excellent. Ben, who do you want to eat with? Your family. Oh, that's Oh, that's nice. Anyone else? Anyone else brave enough to shout out answers? This does reveal a lot about you. Who would you want to eat with? You would want to eat with Jesus. That is a really good answer. Anyone who, less holy? Anyone? Angela? Corrie ten Boon. There you go. That is a good person. Lydia? Your best friend. Very interesting. Who you want to eat with is very revealing, isn't it? Because one of the things it shows is whose voice do you want to listen to? Whose voice do you want to impact you? If you were thinking about who you want to eat with, dead or alive, the assumption is that those people are people who you want to hear their opinions of. You have questions for them. People who would love to influence us in some way. Maybe that's investment advice or questions that you have on certain things. You have a question for Paul. I have questions for Paul about Romans and what is he talking about. Questions that we have because we want to be informed. If you want to find out mine, come and ask me afterwards. Who do you want to eat with? The heart of that question runs through Proverbs 9. It's a bit like an ancient version of come dine with me. Who do you want to eat with? Did you see the two invitations to meals in our passage? Here we see wisdom and folly personified as two ladies. Lady Wisdom in verses 1 to 6 and Madam Folly in verses 13 to 18. And they're both inviting us to banquets. Two voices inviting us to two very different parties. If you wanted to make a booklet up, an evangelistic booklet, you could call it, it's about two ways to party. And we've heard these voices in previous weeks vying for our attention, Lady Wisdom and Madam Folly. And the father has been advising his son, pick wisdom. And that's what Proverbs 9 is encouraging us to do. Eat with Lady Wisdom. And so to help us tonight to make the right decision, we are going to investigate these two parties. Lady Wisdom's life-giving gala and Madam Folly's fatal feast. Lady Wisdom's life-giving gala and Madam Folly's fatal feast. And how we can accept the right invitation. So the first one, Lady Wisdom's life-giving gala, verses 1 to 6. And to help us, I'm going to set up a table. Whoa. Oh, this was lighter earlier, I feel. Here is a table for our feast. And I'm going to put a chair here for us to pull up and eat if we choose. Let me read through the description in verse 1. Have a look at your Bibles. Let's jump into verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. That seven is a symbolic number for completeness. This is the complete house. Her house has all that you need in it, a big, glorious, great place with all the rooms you might ever need. It is complete. But it's not just her house that's great. She has prepared for us also. Look at verse 2. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. So to help us, I have a Domino's pizza box here, which is a meat feast. There you go. Let me try and balance that. Is that going to work? That's not going to work. Sorry, Rachel. I've just ruined your... There you go. Meat feast and some wine. Here we go. There you go. Meat feast and some wine. Now, if you're a vegetarian or a teetotaler, chapter 9 doesn't really sound much of a party to you. But please understand the picture. Imagine a table covered in the most amazing food and drink that you would want. Whatever that is that you would want. Imagine that. All your favorite dishes, your favorite drinks spread out on a table for you to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. Whatever you want. This is fine dining at its best. It's not a McDonald's Happy Meal or a dodgy kebab, but more like a meal from Noma. Maybe you've heard of the restaurant Noma. It was voted the best restaurant in the world 2018 and 2019. I did a quick Google to find a review of the place, and I came across this review. One thing is for sure, a meal at Noma is completely out of the ordinary. Guests are treated to a parade of around 20 succulent small plates. And this next bit apparently is a good part of the review, but it doesn't sound like it to me. Most of which bear little resemblance to recognizable food. Apparently that's a good thing. As in, hey, I like Domino's. The tasting menu costs $296 a head, and the wine pairing is an additional $185. It's apparently a very impressive place with impressive food and wine. And the review said that they spend days and days preparing the food and decades preparing the wine. Imagine the greatest banquet with all the food you might want. This is Lady Wisdom's gala. Great house, great food. And verse 3, she has sent out her servants and she calls from the highest point of the city. You see, she sends her servants to go and invite her guests. It's very similar to sending a limousine to go and collect your guests. It's ensuring that your guests get there safely, making sure they travel in style, making sure they are safe. You see, she's a great host to her guests, making sure they are there. And it's a great location too, at the highest point of the city. That's where she calls from. Do you see that? A place where everyone can see a great house, a great meal, in a great location, and a great host. And this isn't a party that ends with a hangover, but look at the outcome. Have a look at verse 6. Sorry, I'm just going through that. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. You see, the outcome is a changed and better life. Literally, this says, leave the foolish and get life. The outcome of Lady Wisdom's great gala is wisdom and life. As Solomon speaks to his son, he shows him and us here, this party is amazing. Lady Wisdom's life-giving gala is a great house with a great meal in a great location with a great host who cares for you and a party that has a great outcome. She invites great guests, doesn't she? Have a look at verse 4 and have a look at the great guests. Let all who are rich, you looking at that? Verse 4, look, let all who are rich come to my house. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't, does it? Let all who are good and the most important people in the country come to my house. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't, does it? Who does she invite to her house? Let all who are simple come to my house. You see, her party isn't just open to the good and the best and those who behave themselves. It's not open to the top 20%. There's no discrimination to all who are simple. But who are the simple? Now, the simple aren't those with a low IQ. That's not what it means. As one person said, you can have more degrees than a thermometer and still be simple. The simple are simply those who lack understanding, those who are impressionable. As one version puts it, they are those who need help making judgments and need guidance in life. Simply put, we all are simple. In life, we all need help making judgments and need guidance. I'm simple. Professor John Lennox, the Emeritus Professor of Mathematics at Oxford University, one of the greatest minds in mathematics, he says he is simple. Nathan Howard, our senior pastor, is simple. We all are simple. Which means this great gala is available to all of us here tonight, no matter how rich or poor, no matter how smart or not. It's available to us all. And that is amazing. It is a great invite to all. And an Australian put it, most of us have a kangaroo loose in the top paddock, and this meal is for us all, which is great news. I give to you Lady Wisdom's life-giving gala. That's the first meal. But let's now have a look at the second meal, Madam Folly's fatal feast. Madam Folly's fatal feast. And let me set up her table over here. Here's her table. Let me get a chair from over here. Sorry, I should be more prepared. Apologies. Here is Madam Folly's fatal feast. What are we told? Have a look at your Bibles. What are we told about her feast? What does she have at her feast? Verse 17, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. She has water and secret food. So to help us, I have stolen a chocolate bar out of the rooted cupboard, and I've unwrapped it so it's a secret. We don't know what chocolate bar this is. Well, the rooted guys know, because there's only really one chocolate bar in there. But it's a secret chocolate bar, and stolen water, I stole this out of the toilet. There you go. There you go. That is Madam Folly's feast. The meal in itself, look at that, the meal is not attractive, is it? But what makes people want it is the allure of the forbidden. It's the temptation of the stolen and secret that makes us want to desire it. It's the same cry that came from the snake in the Garden of Eden, the promise of fullness, but that leaves you empty. Emptiness wrapped in temptation. It's like taking a random chocolate bar and just eating it. Ooh, exciting. What am I going to get? It's not really exciting, especially if you get the coconut one. And look where this empty meal lands its guests in verse 18. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. An empty meal that has a deadly outcome. Her fatal feast is actually a cemetery. Like rat poison covered in sugar, like a meal full of nuts given to someone with a nut allergy, like giving chocolate to a dog, tasty but deadly. But what about her as a host? Look at verse 13. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. You see, she is the worst host. She is unruly, which means she does whatever she wants without consideration to the consequences. I have two boys. I love them both very much. My youngest is Joshua. He's 1.5, I think. But the thing with toddlers is that they have no concept of the future. Everything is about now, now, now. You pull out some frozen chicken from the freezer to cook for dinner, and he wants it to eat it now, and you say no, and he throws a temper tantrum. He wants it now, now, now. You pull out a raw onion to chop it up. You get another temper tantrum because he wants to eat the raw onion. If he could, he would eat our meals just raw because he wants it now, now, now. A no consequence view in life is okay for a toddler. But in a party host, it is terrible. Everything out there is for her entertainment, for right now, without consideration of her guests or the future. She'll risk their long-term safety in favor of a right now kick. She is a terrible host. But it's not just incompetence. She's very deceptive. Sorry, there we go. She's a terrible host. But she is very deceptive. Look at her call in verse 16. Have a look. Let all who are simple come to my house. Doesn't that sound familiar? It's what, and it should, because look at verse 4. It's exactly the same. It's the same call as Lady Wisdom. Even though Madam Folly knows her party is empty and ends in death, she tries to trick her hosts by imitating and sounding just like Lady Wisdom. She's basically trying to seduce and trick people into her death trap. I was reading the other day about a box jellyfish. Some of you probably heard of it. It's basically a type of jellyfish, but it's apparently one of the most ferocious and evil creatures in the ocean. These jellyfish, it said, they lure their prey of small fish with their tentacles, which looks like plankton to them, but really they're readying them for a deadly sting. This is Madam Folly, a deceptive host with a deceptive feast with a deadly outcome. As Bruce Springsteen would say, baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. Madam Folly's fatal feast ends in death. Two parties, two invitations. Come all who are simple, come into my house. And the writer is clearly compelling us to pick the right party, isn't it? As you read that, it's really obvious what party we should go to. We should want to go to Lady Wisdom's party. It's really, really obvious. Solomon, the writer of this book, really compels them to choose right. But here's the struggle. If the calls are the same, how are we to know where we're going? How are we to know that we're not just being tricked by Madam Folly into her fatal feast? How do we know that we're truly accepting Lady Wisdom's life-giving gala? Well, the middle chunk of our passage helps us. Our middle chunk basically shows us that, here we go, that we accept the right invite by accepting correction. We accept the right invite by accepting correction. Here we're introduced to two people, the mocker and the wise. And you can tell who is who by how they respond to correction. Look at how the mocker responds to correction in verses 7 to 8. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Four responses from the mocker. They insult, they give abuse, they hate, and they mock correction. And this isn't any old correction from anyone, but this is specifically the Lord's correction. Look at verse 10. This is the mantra of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Mockers reject Lady Wisdom's party by rejecting the Lord's correction. Do you see that? Mockers reject Lady Wisdom's party by rejecting the Lord's correction. But look at how the wise responds. Verses 8b and 9. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. You see, both the wise and the foolish do things wrong. It's not the wise never do something wrong and the foolish always do something wrong. Do you see? They both make mistakes. They both mess up. But one accepts the Lord's correction and one rejects the Lord's correction. Are we people who want to be made right, or are we people who just want to hear that we're right? The Lord's correction is the litmus test to see what party we are going to. And I wonder how you would stand with this test. When the Bible teaches on hell, or the cross, or God's sovereignty, or homosexuality, or male leadership, how do you respond? Do we respond with, "That's stupid. I'm going to just do what I want to do. How can God say such a thing?" Or do we listen to God's word and allow it to change us and correct us? When it comes to parenting, do we want to be wise parents? When was the last time we looked at God's word, which told us how we should be parenting, and said, "I want to do it like this. I am sorry that I've done it this way. Help me to do it this way." How about husbands and wives? Do we want to be wise husbands and wives? When was the last time we came to God's word and saw how God wants us to be husbands and wives and said, "Sorry, Lord, I've done it wrong. Please, would you help me to live this way?" Do we want to be wise friends? Have we come to God's word and read what God's word tells us about true friendships and helping each other? Have we come to this word? When was the last time we came and looked what God tells us about friendship and how we can be good, godly friends with each other? Inaction is ignoring correction. Listening to the sin inside of us instead of God's word is leading to Madam Folly's fatal feast. Accepting is accepting his correction. You see, this chapter is well placed at the doorway into the next section of Proverbs 9. Maybe you can remember back to the first talk that Nathan did. Chapters 1 to 9 work in Proverbs like a big introduction to the meat of Proverbs. Chapters 10 to 29 is the big meaty section of Proverbs. When someone says to you what is a proverb, you probably think of the one or two pithy liners, don't you? That's what we think. Something like, "Pride goes before a fall, and a soft answer turns away wrath." These sayings are all found in chapters 10 to 29. And chapter 9, what it does is works like a welcome mat into this section. As you go into a section where God's word corrects us and trains us and changes us, it asks us the question, are you going to enter in with a mind that wants to be corrected and end here? Or are you going to go in with a mind that is refusing to change and end here? Are you going to listen, or are you going to reject? You see, the irony is the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, managed to write chapters 10 to 29, but not completely listen to it. Do you see the danger? You can even write big chunks of Proverbs, great, amazing wisdom, and still not abide by it. As you read Solomon's life, it was one that contained great wisdom, but very often mixed with great foolishness. Things that if he'd listened to his own words, he would not have fallen into the trap. It's not about hearing, but it's about accepting and putting into practice. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7 this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You see, the wise man hears and puts them into practice. The wise man accepts the Lord's correction and lets it change his life. You see, Solomon was a wise man, but Jesus was wiser. Jesus, who is the Lord, oozed wisdom with every breath, but not just with every breath, but with every single step. He just showed wisdom. As Nathan puts it, he was wisdom on legs. And as we think of these meals in Proverbs 9, we really should have our minds sent to the most famous meal that Jesus had, the Last Supper. It's a shame that we're not having communion tonight. I think that would have been fitting with tonight's passage. The Last Supper, where Jesus took wine and bread and ate with his disciples. And after the meal, we read this in Matthew 27. "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. As he took the wine, as he took the bread and broke it, what was he saying? What was he declaring? He was saying, even though I belong at that table, I am deliberately going to sit at this table. As he went to the cross, he rejected, in essence, a seat here and came over this table deliberately. Why? So that all who are his, who belong at this table because of the foolishness that we have done, could be released and set free to go to Lady Wisdom's life-giving gala. Jesus' death is the only reason any of us can sit at this table. In John, we read that Jesus was the one that turned water into wine. We read of in the Gospels that Jesus is the one who took on foolishness so we could be wise. Jesus is the one who went into the realm of the dead to give us life and insight. Jesus died to set us free from this table. If you are not a Christian tonight, let me tell you, you are at this table heading for the realm of the dead. A life of ignoring God has placed you firmly at this seat, and it's as if you are buried in the cemetery already. But the great news is that word all who are simple, Jesus died for to rescue you from that table. That is the great news of the gospel. It is not too late to escape the table of death. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One, Jesus, is understanding. Knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the starting line of a pathway to Lady Wisdom's life-giving gala. Please, can I encourage you to think about it seriously? Come to a Christianity Explored course. Learn about what Jesus did to release you from the clutches of Madame Folly's fatal feast to send you to Lady Wisdom's life-giving gala. But maybe you already know Jesus. Well, listen to his teaching. Accept it. Apply it to your lives. Let it mold you. Let it correct you. Let it train you. Don't just listen to it, but apply it into your life. Maybe you're not sure how to do that specifically. Well, I believe next time in Grow Groups, we're going to be working through chapters 10 to 29. Is that right? In Proverbs. Come, see the wisdom of God's word and let it mold your life. Will you come and accept his correction, and by doing so, accept a seat at Lady Wisdom's table? Let me finish by asking the question that I started with. Who do you want to eat with? Who do you want to eat with? Madame Folly or Lady Wisdom? Accept the right invite by accepting the Lord's correction. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the one who went to the cross, the one who took a seat at Madame Folly's table, took on death to release those who are his and to bring them into the great banquet. Please, Lord, would you help us to be people who don't just hear your words, but put them into practice. Help us for your glory. Amen.